a stranger from the street walked around to the
Yeah,
that happens so often.
Yeah.
Even today.
Today, yes. But anyway, when we went travelling in Portugal, the foyer of a very nice hotel, my friend sat and put a bag down like this. And someone, a well-dressed person, came in and sat in the chair next. Then he dropped his coat over the bag, got up and walked out.
So I'll tell you what we thought
before we start. We can turn it off. But, Tony, do you remember, where do you come from in Macedonia, your family?
In a Greek side, Macedonia.
You were born there?
I'm born in Greek side of Macedonia, and then we lived in Yugoslavia.
But you speak Greek?
No.
Very little, I speak Greek, very little. I learned it from my wife.
Do you remember your homeland, your home?
Yes, I do. Oh, I got so often.
How old were you when you were there?
When I left there, I was 10 years old. More on the birthplace.
Yes. You remember it?
Yes, I do.
Have you visited since?
10 times.
Oh, that's good. So you go often.
Yeah, yep. 10 times.
The last time?
Last time was last year before.
1913.
Yeah, I was there last time.
No, 1913.
That was the revolution.
And the name of the town?
The name of the town is... In the moment, they call it, before it was Boof, now Creta. They changed the name in 1956, after I left.
The Greeks.
The Greeks, yeah.
So it's now part of Greece.
Yes.
So, what do you think of what's going on in Greece?
No, I don't like what they're doing, but I can't do nothing about it.
No.
No.
Well, you must be pleased you're here, then.
Oh, I'm very pleased I'm here. I'm very pleased. Oh, yeah.
So when you left at 10, were you sorry?
Well, there was a revolution there. We had to leave. A big revolution. We had to leave the fly off to, just to save your life. It was bombarding, fighting every day, and now we had to leave.
Children.
We left 28,000 kids we left there.
From the Greek side.
Yeah, from the Greek side to go to Yugoslavia. All the young ones.
Tell
they didn't force you to take go there, but if you want to save your life, you know, you can go. And we did.
And how does your father find you? Through Red Cross?
Yeah, Red Cross, yes.
After
in Yugoslavia.
Years?
He find me in 1950s. He find me only lived 2.5 something years there. And he brought me by aeroplane.
Yeah.
Of the Dutch airline.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you?
I didn't understand that.
Why is that?
So... That your father came here?
He came 1939, my father here.
And
he left me only 6 months old.
Yes.
And my mother left me, I was 4 years old when she left me.
But where
she
did
she? She passed away.
Oh. And were you the only one left behind in your family then?
Well, yes. Well, I was only one staying with my auntie, my father's sister.
So, that's extraordinary, isn't it? And how old were you then? He then came to pick you up?
No.
He went through the Red Cross. He lost contact with him. The Red Cross found him in Yugoslavia. And he was one of the first immigrants
From Belgrade
with KLM airline, because he couldn't remember the date when he came, because he was a young lad. And Tony never went to school because he was left an orphan. For him to make a living, he had to work. He was a peasant boy. And he used to take the animals from, I don't know, about 40, 50 animals can be, take them to the forest and look after them. So he didn't go to school in Greece because he did that. When he went to Yugoslavia, he didn't go to school either because he had to make a living. And he used to say, he used to beg for a piece of bread. And then at the evening, he used to beg for shelter. And of course, when he came here in 1950, the 30th of October 1950, he arrived, and he found his father married, which is the stepmother didn't want him. So he was renting a room in Gertrude Street from 13 years old, and he used to pay for the rent on his own. So he had a very hard life, and he didn't go to school here either, so he went to sell
newspapers.
Right.
Paper boy. I was one of the best paper boy. Yep.
And then how did you get involved with
shoemaking?
Well, I sell 2 years papers, and I was getting too bit too old.
He was embarrassed.
I was starting embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to be apprentice. George Damas, a shoe factory was in David Street, Fitzroy. I done my apprenticeship there. I done 5 years apprenticeship and 11 years night school I went there to learn all the trade completely.
Good.
Yeah, otherwise, you only learn one thing to learn. It's part of the shoes you learn, but you don't learn all of it.
So you learn for a pattern maker?
So you got to learn all the trade to sell.
So you go to different people? Mm.
Different sectors. Mm. Same school, but different different class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was an apprentice of the, not in academically, but in practice. Because academically with Tony, whatever he learned, to learn to read and write in old age, it's a little bit...
I wasn't very old age, but I was old enough.
Yes. Yeah,
so you didn't live with your father?
Then?
And after a while, my mother, she had her father living in South Australia. And they wanted to come...
His stepmother,
stepmother, yeah, my stepmother. And she wanted my father and mother to come from South Australia to come live here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they decided with my father and my grandfather, they bought a place together.
In
44 Gore Street, Fitzroy.
Mm-hmm.
And my father said, if you, your father live with us, my son's going to live with us. And that's what happened. Then we got together.
So how did you get on with your stepmother then?
Oh, well, she never did like me. She never did like me at all. She never did. She still doesn't.
I'm looking after her
for nearly 6 years now. She's a widow, and a widow for 18 years or 17. Well, since you got six, she got a 60.
Father-in-law passed away 17 years ago, so she's on her own. Now, 7 years now, she had a stroke. She lost the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the only one who look after her. So she doesn't want to age care. So we go every morning, every evening to see how is she, prepare her meals, prepare her tablets to take them. And
We'll keep going.
Well, if I complain something, he goes to me, you're not any better than her. So
well, you are better than her then, yeah.
Not really, but what can we do? Well, no, he had a very hard childhood into it, and besides that, so he ended up to be a very pleasant man. He doesn't want to hurt people. He's not pushing himself to nobody. I don't know how I can describe it. I don't know how he learned all those goods behind for a human being. That's his nature, that's how, I don't know, but he's really very, very good. Mm-hmm. I lived with them for 10 years with my in-laws.
And is that down in Napier Street?
34 Napier Street.
Yes.
Can you remember when they bought 34 Napier Street?
Of course he remembers.
Yes,
when your father bought it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he never said it. He was paying off. He said it'll be half his. And on the end of it, he said... there was renting for living here, so I can't give you nothing. So
even after that, my father and my father, grandfather, my stepmother's father, they didn't go very well living together. And my grandfather said, "You got to move out." He said, "No, we bought the place together. We got to be, and we sell it. What we get, we divide it." My grandfather said, "I want the place. I want to live in here." Well, my father left, but he didn't got anything after a couple of years. Didn't got nothing extra.
Whatever he put,
what he put it in, that's where he had to take it out.
Like my son told your other half when he said the house had a lot of debt, and my Peter said to him, "Okay, I'll get it back. I'll give you whatever you gave Grandpa."
And then from there we went to live in 60 Condell Street, Fitzroy.
Mm-hmm.
We lived a few years. And then that place was bought in 34 Napier Street. And we moved out from there.
But they sold in Condell Street because they were the first house commission bill. I don't know if you can see Condell Street and Gore Street on the corner.
Between Gore Street and Joe Street.
Do you know that the corner that was the first?
One of the first flats in Fitzroy, like commission flat. Yes. That was built there. They were one of the first ones. Hmm.
So now, where do you live now?
Here, but we're sleeping.
Rosanna.
Mm. A long way out then. From Fitzroy.
It is. We've been there
1971.
Well, I'm just wondering whether we'll put a stop and pause this for a bit.
Is
His Tony's grandfather, my mother-in-law's father, he was the first one, Macedonian Bulgarian priest in Orthodox in here in Australia. He was one of the first ones. Remember, I don't know, there was a church we had on Young Street.
Yes.
Not this one.
It was further down.
Further down, before where the buildings are, where the. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I got married there.
That come later.
When did that close, that one?
When the S Commission took over.
Oh, okay, so.
Yeah, before you were born.
70s, maybe, yeah.
What was the name then of your.
Grandfather?
Yes, priest. Who was the priest?
Yeah, was Filippo. Peter Filippo. Filippos, I think Filippo. He writes the name. Filippo. Let me write on a piece of paper and you can copy it.
When did you come to Gertrude Street?
30th October 1950.
And did you meet? Were you with Mary at that stage?
No. Much 10 years later.
10 years later.
More. 12 years. 12 years later. Yeah. We knew before. I mean, I met him a couple of years before we married.
Yep.
She came 1959. I come 1950.
That's right.
And she came to here. She lived in Gertrude Street. That's what we met. We had dances and we met at there and we were there. We had to go to the park weekends and that's where we didn't meet.
And how old were you when you met him?
And then they're not going out.
All about 2 years we know each other. Well, not quite 2 years, but say we and half or something and we got engaged and that's it.
22,
yeah.
Yeah. And when
she was only 16.
Where were you? Oh, she was 16.
Yeah, when we got engaged, yeah.
Where were you living then?
When she came in, I just worked, opened the shop in the front.
Yes.
59. I opened in 29 of May, 1958.
And was it a shoe shop before?
No, it wasn't. No.
So
it was a resident. People living inside the shop. But we bought the building in 1956.
So you did your apprenticeship before that, then?
Yes, I did my apprenticeship start before that. Yeah.
For 6 years, did you say?
Yeah, 5 years apprenticeship.
Yes.
But I went 11 years night school.
Have a lovely weekend.
Well,
did you meet Tony?
Well, I met him. Tony, he was a very good friend with my father. Father was immigrated earlier than us, 1956, to arrive in Australia. 3 years later, mother, my brother and I, we arrived. And of course, Dad always used to talk to Tony, big good boy to me, because I bring him a daughter. So he was sending always regards through
my love
through our friends, because those days we rented in one house that I lived in 193 Gertrude Street. That house used to be. And of course, there were 5 rooms. In each room, we were renting it to a family. And all of them, they knew Tony, because the Macedonia, we always united together. Yeah. And one day we were sitting on the tram stop going to the city, and the lady said to me, "Come on, I introduce you to the boy who sent you his regards." So I go in it, and Tony was 22, and with just singlet and apron.
Summertime.
And I was only 15. I looked at him and said, "Ugh, you're too old for me."
That wasn't very nice.
I know. So 2 weeks later, we had a dance in Fitzroy Town Hall. That's where all the matchmaking and the romance that were done those days through there. And of course, he knew Dad. He comes straight to the table we're sitting. Without any doubt, and before Dad said, "This is my daughter," he goes to me, "Excuse me, do I still look old?" And I said, and of course, my mother looked at me and said, "It's not a bad catch, is he?" I said, "No." And from then, he was in love with my girlfriend, which is they were renting one of our rooms. And every second day, he was coming to our house in 193 Goethe Street. And with my girlfriend, they were going out. And of course, sometimes she was getting into trouble. She used to say to me, "Come on, we go, the two of us. And then we go home so I don't get into trouble." And all of a sudden, I said to them, "I can't stay any longer because I'll get trouble with my parents." And I said, "I'll go away." And she said, "Oh, no, please, please, please wait." And he looked at me, and I looked at him again. I thought, "Oh." And they had a fight, the two of them. And she went back to Macedonia, Yugoslavia, Macedonia, in Bitola. And she said to me, "He likes you, but don't you marry him because blah, blah." Like always, she said the bad things. And before she leave with the ship, she said to me, "I'm sorry I put you wrong picture of him. If you are lucky enough to marry him, you have a wonderful life with him." And that's how we met and married. And she come back, this girl. We still are friends with her. Mm. She married a lovely man too from there. That's it. That's our story. And we just had one son. Live with my in-laws in 34 Napier Street. And that's it. And we moved in Rosanna. We move only for sleep, because everybody asks me, "Oh, you live in Fitzroy." This is why Chinese 7 days a week, 12 hours a day here. Only this last few years he stopped a little bit, not to work. He's still working. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know yourself.
Yeah.
Repairing. That's our story.
So what I remember when I was a little girl was all the borders you'd had.
We still got them.
So you still have.
Yes.
And you had a lot of interesting characters. Do you have any people that you have nice memories of, or
yes,
something that you like to tell us about?
I don't know if you remember Gordana.
Yes, I remember Gordana. She was very colourful.
Very colourful. She was my age.
Yeah.
But she lovely. Was a lovely.
She, yeah, she'd kiss me in the street, and I'd just
But on the end in her life, for the last 3 years, 2000 she passed away. Yeah. She got. She was going to Peter McKellen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 2 years she suffered, and she had a treatment, chemotherapy, but with a casket in her hand. And a few times I took her there, and I say to the people who are looking, "Why don't you stop her?" They looked at me, they said, "Nothing's looking too more. Mm-hmm. At least let her live happily."
Mm-hmm.
But she, we're quite a lovely. Now, Tony's very kind to them. This is how Tony works in it. They all look at him as a godfather. I'm the bad person. I collect the debt collector. And if they haven't got any money to pay the rent, they borrow it from him. They can give me the money so I can give them a receipt. Because I go crook at them. And he's all right, I suppose. Some of them they use him, but the majority they don't.
No,
they pay him, and he's got on his mind like a control. I said, "What do you do?" He said, "If they don't pay or they borrow, they don't get any more." And he's not nasty. He just say to them, "No, finish what you owe me, then I give you some more." That's how. Mm. Some of them that have got, can I have a paper from there? 25 years, 30 years,
I live. Yeah, I was going to ask how. Mm. Have you got any long-term ones that have been there for a long
30
time?
Years.
Yeah, we've had him. What's the longest? Boris.
Peter Fraser. Gina.
Boris
has
been a long time. Peter
Novak's
been a long time.
I'm sure if I see a face,
she had a son, which is a lost son, for many years, and then all of a sudden the found her and I took another light. Oops.
That's quite a number.
Yes.
Oh, you've got from when they've
started. Oh, yes. Yeah. I always got to have that when I start them. I have to keep on record what they do, and otherwise.
Anything goes wrong, like.
So I know it.
Something to do with the law.
Mm. So it's all up here. Yeah.
Are they mostly Macedonian people?
No. We've got only one Macedonian.
Mm. Two now.
Who's the other one?
Peter downstairs.
Oh, Peter. Petrovsky.
Petrovsky.
Yeah.
And. Who's that one there? There you go. Sasha.
No, two. No, no Macedonian.
Two. So we've got Romanians, English, Romanian, yeah. Australians, and what?
New Zealanders, we got two ladies
in New Zealand. So a mixture, it is a mixture.
But you can tell here, have a look at the different names.
Look at Turkish.
96, look all that. This is the years they started living in here.
26,
Mick Schneider, he's...
He's Slovenian.
Yeah.
He's been here 20 years.
Yeah, so they stay for quite a while. Yeah.
We look them after, and they don't know where they live. The only way when they go, when they pass away. That's what happens. Yeah. Now we look, I'll look after them.
Yeah.
I love people, and I spend time with them.
Yeah.
I spend time, and they like me.
Because I do remember Gordana, because we had the window across.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
it'd
bathroom.
Be like she'd be singing on the balcony, and she was quite, she was an alcoholic, so she was always quite. No, jolly
very cheerful, yes.
She walks through the door and she's wobbling and she goes, and you sit there and she walks, don't push me.
And you got 50 meters away and you say, don't push me. Poor girl.
And also, Tony, your customers, I remember Dad or Michael saying that you did the boots for... all the Victorian firefighters and the police for a number of years. So your clientele, if you want to talk a little bit about that, who your customers have been and who you've made boots for, because your boots are very good quality and they're very, very famous. That's right. So just about your
story customer. Written by me, by the in a book. They call me Macedonia Marble. That's what they call me. Well, I had a contract with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to, for the councils.
They used to ride motorcycles.
Yeah. And the posties. I had three contracts for doing all the boots I'm making. But I got too old now, I had to let them go because the energy is not there.
No.
Couldn't produce them.
I think the thing in it was the best part of it, people with a different cast. Because the mass production, there was standard cuffs. What standard?
Mm.
Nothing. So for Tony, they used to measure the fittings and make them to fit them properly on the biggest cuff or a skinny cuff or
whatever they need to.
So if you're making shoes for the police, did you fit each of them individually?
Yes, and then we keep the measurements.
Yeah, and keep the
molds. The molds can be alternated, but the measurements, you know, it's done. The patterns, everything's done, really. And when they need another pair, they fix it. That number works all with the numbers. And they said we need another pair. We just make another pair, keep making it, keep sending. We keep coming, repairs, keep sending. That's what we did for...
So how many years? What period of time was that?
First we started with a posty. So it would be 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, long time. Maybe more.
We just sent a pair of boots for the postman. He's here. They were 25 years and we sent them for Tony to repair them. That was the many times.
Yeah.
I've written a notice that this is the last time you repair them because the leather wears out.
Yeah,
and the lady who brought them yesterday, 1977.
Indestructible.
Oh, that one there.
Yeah. And
that one there.
Yeah, Tony's boots are definitely... I know my brother Michael got a pair for still look
somewhere.
New.
Well, this is what I had to all the measurements done, like in a number to each boot. Mm. And therefore...
That's only for the...
Tony, if I didn't work here, Tony wouldn't have said legend. So when I come back, I'll start.
Oh, now you
picked
that up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How far back did they
come? Well, up to 96 I had I've started writing. And then... oh, that's how you get the orders from the police. whole of the world. So it was, no, it's fascinating. But Tony, like, used to go crooked me, why do I waste all this time? And then later on in life, he realized it did help him what I did in it. So
yes. Good team.
Yeah, good team. No, 92. I've got this, most of the policemen have got. You've got the number, his serial number.
Mm.
And that's how I identify them, by the serial number.
But if your shop opened in the 50s, so that's very early on, were you making boots for the police?
No.
Now, yes. I started making shoes.
Mm.
But 1950 was a lot of immigrants coming.
Yes.
Lots of it, 50s and 60s as well. And there was about half a dozen shoemakers here in Gidley Street.
Uh-huh.
And everyone trying to, it was pounds and shillings, yeah.
Yes.
Competition. I used to put £4 a pair of shoes, and some people put three and a half, some put three, so cutthroats.
Yeah.
And that was very hard to gain up, progress to make a bit of money. When the Beatles come in, I saw a boot, so you're wearing a boot with a big buckle in the front.
65?
Yeah, when they come here.
Yeah.
And I saw the boot, I liked the boot, I made the boot before anyone else,
mm.
It went well. But people discover again, they start making that.
Mm.
And after that, I started making motorcycle boots. There was no motorcycle boots here, it was only one English boot. And I went to make that one. And it started going well, and don't have to change so many models, so many lasts, so expensive, you can keep the same styles, you know, I need a triple styles, and you can keep going forever. And then when no one can copy it. When the boots are made, it's a little bit different, and no one can copy it.
Yes.
They're their own pattern on it.
Hmm.
And then, well.
This is all the police I had on, all those from there to there.
Mm.
For me it was interesting, and they used to bring them all along the student before they get qualified for the full policeman, so they come and Tony will measure them, and each of them different size, but they were, he never got,
hello,
he never wanted any favours from nobody, he never wanted anything in his life. I never forget one night we are coming from Springvale. It was evening, and the policeman with the motorcycle came behind me, and with the thing in his
siren
on, and he said, pull on the side, so I'll pull on the side. He goes to me, don't worry, you've done nothing wrong, it could be a Redmond check. And he put the light, you know, the touch in my face, said, state your name, and it's your car? I said, no, my husband's car. So I put the light on him, he goes, oh, Tony! I still, my heart goes big, big, big. But I must admit, in all of them, only a handful you can find them very aggressive. The majority, they're very down-to-earth people.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of them, I'll never forget, I used to say to him, why do I get a shock when a policeman says, it's okay, well, I do. But he said, one thing I can tell you, it's very hard to become young policeman because you haven't lived civilian. I said, if I'm the law, I will let them live to 25 or 26 as civilian, and then promote them as a policeman, because it is very hard as civilian to live. Sometimes from nothing they can pull you on the side, from no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, if you leave, he said, I was 30 when I became policeman, and I've got a feeling for everybody. I thought, how beautiful he put it.
Isn't mm-hmm.
it? Very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was coming through here and I had my bag here without my safety. So I'm
belt.
Thinking, I've got the belt in here. And he pointed, I said, well, he said, well, he didn't pull me on the side, and then I pulled the belt and put it in.
Mm.
And lucky, I didn't know he was coming to see Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, he said, well, that's, if you book someone for that, he said, you're stupid.
Mm.
But he said, a young 118, that thing will have got the power, and they will book you.
Mm.
Isn't it? And we went a lot of functions with the police, but Tony will never mix. It's a different.
Yeah, different.
Because when you go there, they swear, they do lots of things, stupid things.
But let's go.
And all young men, they all do, yeah. You know. Me, you know, with my wife, we just two young, you know, not young couple, but two old couples.
Old couple, yes.
Yeah.
So, and With the Macedonian community in Gertrude Street when you met, were there regular dances?
Yes. Is that how every week.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes. Mm. Every week. Every Sunday.
What sort of music would you...
Macedonian music.
Where
Macedonian music.
And English. English too, both. Mm. With a bit of dancing, circle, and then we then normal dance, folk throw.
Folk dancing.
Yeah.
And
Macedonian
musicians?
Most of them. Yeah, most of Macedonian musicians, yesterday.
But if you find that book, the one I'm telling you for the in the 50s in the Fitzroy Town Hall, that it's got a beautiful stories about Macedonian.
The immigrants here, in Fitzroy.
Yeah. Because she was, and I'll tell you who you should interview. I don't know if she still lives there, like the daughter of this old man I'm telling you. She used to have her name was Mary, and she had a husband Mary Paparussi. What was her husband?
The second one,
the one we went in Hong Kong.
West.
Don't you remember that?
I'm
her
sure
daughter.
If I see their face I can't.
They had a daughter, one daughter.
Yeah. Where did they live? Whereabouts?
Just in the corner where the second hand store. Now it's the restaurant.
Oh no, it's not coming to me.
Not coming to you.
1967, my son ran away from school because he was naughty. He didn't want to go to school. He was with a boy who was born in Yugoslavia, Macedonia, and so. I said to him, I'm coming to the school tomorrow to see the teacher. What are you doing? So you're still afraid to face me with the boy. The boy said to him, come on, we go to Yugoslavia. And my son said to him, I'm born in Australia. I haven't got another country. He said, it's okay, I'll take you, Yugoslavia. So they walked from George Street,
which
is Napier Street, Napier Street, up to Malvern.
Oh goodness. On the way to Yugoslavia.
Yes.
Yeah.
All Gertrude Street, every shop was looking after my to find my son. So we went to the police station, which was in Town Hall now. They were in when you ran away from school?
24 hours.
And then I went to Russell Street, it was the main police, and I said to them, look, 24 hours on 7-year-old kid.
Mm.
Isn't it? And by this time, it was in July, you know, how quickly gets dark. And, of course, my son knew her telephone number. If you ask him now, he'll tell you a story. So he said to the policeman, we've been kidnapped. He said, after we told all the lies, the policeman said to him, now the real story. And he said, but I'm from Fitzroy, this is my boy. And he said, I don't know my telephone number. So they rang, because everybody, we went everywhere except my brother. The one who just left, stay home in 34 Napier Street in case they ring because my in-laws they didn't want to speak English. And they rang and they told him where he is. And they went and picked him up. See, I'll never forget as long as I live there in it.
You can imagine.
Now you've got a child, you know what it's like. You don't know that in it. Oh, that was the hardest part of it.
But so how many hours was he missing?
From 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock the evening, 12 hours.
Oh, that's 12 hours of torture.
Yeah, to help my son.
Oh, Peter. So you gave up the shop so that Peter could take
over. Yep. So not to pay rent somewhere else. And I thought, I said, I will retire. I said, no, I come over here, broke the machines in, and still doing it.
You never had a break, you just moved
just moved
here.
In here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Overnight, mind you.
We moved in.
I thought maybe you took a bit of a break and you realised that
you missed work. No,
okay.
Not
so
really.
You didn't really stop.
Now, till we put this together and straight things up there, that's nothing much now. But like I said, only 3 days a week now, don't.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But we had to help him, only one son, and I said, Dad, I'm paying big rent and it's very hard to survive. I said, well, in that case, look, you take the shops.
No, but depends what he was paying rent. We didn't make that money because he said he works for his son. I said, you don't. I said, the amount of rent he pays, you don't earn that amount of money because you know how much the rent is downtown in the city.
Mm.
And he asked him, he said, Peter, do you want to... The shop, he said, only if you're retired, Dad. He said, I'm retiring. He's a good boy.
Oh, well, I've done enough since 58. Mm-hmm. I'm still going. That's, what's that, 60 something years?
You lose count.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. I can lose count.
Yes, oh, well, thank you very much.
It hasn't been very nice. My beard hasn't been very nice. My beard hasn't been very nice. My beard hasn't been very nice. My beard.